What if I told you that the most difficult situation or person in your life right now is actually a tool in God's hands to accomplish His biggest and best purpose in your life? You want to learn how this works? Stay with me.
Welcome to this Monday edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Living on the Edge features the Bible teaching of Chip Ingram on this daily discipleship program. I'm Dave Drewy. Today, Chip continues his series, I Choose Joy, with a counterintuitive, geometrical proposition that I think you'll find makes a lot of sense when he's done. Now, after the teaching, Chip will be with us in studio to talk in greater detail about his topic today, so be sure to stay with us for that. Now here's Chip with his message, Understanding the Power of Purpose, from Philippians chapter 1.
Well, welcome to part two of I Choose Joy. And I'd like to just pause for a minute and ask each one of you, what's a circumstance in your life that's tough? Is there anything in your life right now that you say, if God really loves me, if He cares for me and I'm obeying Him, I'm doing all that I know that is right, what's going on? I don't get it. Well, you're not alone. And so if you pull out your teaching notes, I want you to do a little exercise with me. On the very top is a quote by a professor that had a profound impact when I was in seminary. I think he's down at Biola now, got his doctorate in communication from UCLA. It says, sometimes the shortest distance between two points is a zigzag line. Now, I want to say that again. Sometimes the distance between point A and point B, unlike in geometry where it's a straight line with God, sometimes the distance between point A, this is where you're at right now. This is where you're at in your life, in your singleness, in your marriage, in your work, in your health. Point A, God wants to take you to point B. The way we think, and especially those of you that were really good in geometry, unlike me, is we think, you know, point A, point B, straight line. That's how you get there. In God's economy, mark it down. The shortest distance between two points is a zigzag line. I will never forget Dr. Sanukian sharing that. I can't tell you what the message is all about. I can't tell you when and where I was, but what I can tell you is a paradigm shifted in my mind. A paradigm shifted, and I realized that when I'm at point A and when I'm convinced God wants me at point B, when I don't get there right away or when I hit barriers and there's time issues and people issues and health issues and struggle issues and marriage issues and kid issues and at times when I was single, just, God, am I ever going to get married issues? It was beginning to say, wow, this shortest distance is a zigzag line. This is going to be very, very helpful. I want you to get out a pen right now. Come on, pull it out. Okay, just really quick. And right underneath that, where it says a zigzag line, I want you to put a dot on one side, and then all the way over on the other side of the page, put another dot, and then I want you to actually draw a zigzag line. And while you're doing that, let me just give you a couple examples so that I'm not just making this up. You know, we're studying the book of Philippians, the Apostle Paul. Now, God interrupts his life and reveals himself and takes him to Arabia and, you know, says, okay, this is what you're going to do. You are my man to the Gentiles. Your mission is to take the gospel to the whole world. And he goes on these missionary trips and he plants all these churches. And I mean, God is using him. It's an amazing story. And so his point A, God has spoke to me. Point B, take the gospel to the whole world. Now, do you realize how many times, years after year after year, he was in prison? I mean, he's got to be saying, wait a second. You told me to take the gospel to the whole world. Now I'm in prison for this. Now I'm in prison for this. Now I'm in prison for that. How's this ever going to happen? Well, guess where Paul wrote a great number of all the letters inspired by the Holy Spirit that we read today? While he was in prison. The most strategic way that God's word would go all around the world then and now, this man wrote 13 books. You see, God had a zigzag plan, but Paul couldn't see it. Or take David. God calls David to be the king, and Samuel anoints him, and this young man, and he says, David, you're going to be the king. And Saul has been cast aside, and he's turned away. And David, I'm sure he's like, wow, I'm too young, but okay. Well, he's anointed as king, and for the next 10 plus or minus years, he dodges spears, hides in caves, loses his wife, has everyone turn against him, and wonders, God, if this is what it's like to be king, what's the deal? But you see, the zigzag line, he was preparing David, and he was preparing the circumstance. And you can look at Joseph, you can look at Moses, you can look at the children of Israel, you can look at your life, you can study church history, you can look at the lives of people that you really admire, that God has greatly used and have great character. And I will tell you this, the game plan was a zigzag line. So what I want to help you do is learn we can actually choose joy when we know that these current circumstances, God actually is using them. There is a purpose behind them. It's not linear. It's not always the way we think. You got it? Now, for those of you that weren't with us in our last session, let me do a very, very quick review. I have a question before we move on. This is a pitcher of water, and the question is it half full or is it half empty? Now, you know, you don't necessarily need to vote. Raise your hand, but, you know, is it half full or is it half empty? And, of course, you know the answer, right? The answer is yes. It is half full and it is half empty. And in this series, what we're learning is that it's your focus. How do you look at that? It's your perspective. If this picture represents your life, your relationships, all that's going on, there are some people that spend their entire life focusing on what they don't have, what's not yet. And they're down and they're discouraged and they blame people and they blame God and they're pretty negative. And some of it just goes inside our heads because we all struggle with this. And there's other people who realize everybody's life is going to have some big empty issues, some struggles, some challenges. But their focus is, look at what I do have. Look at what God has done. And they focus not denying what's empty, not pretending it's not there, not pretending there's not needs, but look, it's half full. And so on your notes, what I want to do by way of review is simply say this, C plus P equals E. That's our little formula. That's our formula for choosing joy. Circumstances plus perspective equals our experience. This whole series about choosing joy is learning moment by moment, day by day, into everything of life to get God's perspective, to look at a lens. Lens number one was, you'll see in your notes, key is focus. Jot that down, will you? Your focus. The key question to ask when you're sliding, when you get discouraged, when you don't understand, when someone really ticks you off, here's the question, where's my focus? Key number two is purpose. You see, when I look at life, the ups and downs, the zigs, and especially the zags, I need to ask myself, what's my purpose? I want to look at circumstances and challenges and difficulties through the lens of purpose. But what I want you to see is the structure of this passage. Verse 12, he's going to give his thesis. He's gonna tell us, this is what I want you to know. And then in each one of the verses, it's like a lawyer. He's presenting like his argument. And he has exhibit A, exhibit B, exhibit C. I'm going to show you that he's going to look at his life through the lens of God's purpose. And whether he's zigging or zagging, he will end this section with, and I rejoice. So follow along. Here's his thesis, verse 12. Now, I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, underlying greater progress and underlying gospel. And then he's going to tell us how those difficult circumstances kind of help the gospel go forth. Exhibit A, he says, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else. And that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. And then he goes into some of the challenges and some things that were happening. Some, to be sure, are preaching Christ even from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I'm appointed for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaimed Christ out of selfish ambition rather than pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment. And then his kind of attitude toward it all. You know, what then, or literally, what's it matter? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed. And in this, I circle the word rejoice. Okay, here's his thesis. This church that loves him, that was birthed in Philippi, have heard our beloved apostle, church planner, our friend, our brother. Well, he's in Rome now. And we've heard he's in prison, and they know what the prisons are like. And we'll learn later in the book, this was the very little, only the church at this time that was supporting him financially. And so they have sent Epaphroditus to go meet him and bring a financial gift. And in that day, they didn't serve you food. You had to have friends and people to take care of you. And so they're concerned about Paul. And this letter, he's writing back to reassure them it's okay. And so here's his premise. I want you to know, because you're concerned, I want you to know that my circumstances, the difficulties, the challenges you've heard about are turning out for the greater progress. The word greater progress, had you underline, the word means advancement. It's a military term. It was a term that when an army was coming through and they would have a barrier of trees, they would cut down trees, they would, you know, get rid of all the brush, but they would remove every barrier so that army could continue to advance. And it says, I want you to know that it's difficult for sure. I am in prison, just as you've heard, but here's the deal. It's caused the gospel, the good news. And for some of us that didn't grow up in the church, the gospel's not some formula, okay? Can I pause just a moment? Can we park? I mean, just for a second. The gospel is a compound word, good news, or literally it's happy news. And what it is, it's an announcement. It's not like, here's how you ought or should to live. The announcement is, all men of all time are in chains and bondage to sin, and we fall short of God's holiness. And God, the second person of the Trinity, came to earth. He lived a perfect life. He died upon the cross and he paid for my sin and your sins and the sins of all people of all time. And then he rose from the dead and he demonstrated that it's true. And the good news, the happy news, the early church wasn't saying, you have to believe this and you need to do this and why don't you start living this way and your morals need to be this way. No, they were just going to say, look, there's happy news. We all know that we fall short. We all know that we've sinned. God visited the planet. He died in our place. Our sins are forgiven. Will you receive it? I mean, it was like just going around telling people, this is amazing. And so Paul says, my circumstances have turned out for the advancement of this message, this amazing, powerful message. The gospel he would write to the Romans is the power of God to salvation, to every single person who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now, he's gonna make his point. So Paul, okay, you say it's an advancement. We're still concerned about you. How does it advance the gospel? Exhibit A, the gospel goes forth. Jot that word in. The gospel goes forth. He says, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become, put a line under, well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else. Now let's, again, we've got to get a little context here. We read this through our 21st century lens. The Roman Empire is in absolute control. By this time, Nero happens to be the emperor. And he is worshipped as God, and emperor worship is very big. But it's a Greek culture, so there's gods on every corner. Now, in the midst of all these gods and emperor worship and this heavy-handed, strong Roman world, there was an itinerant preacher who came. He claimed to be God. He claimed to fulfill all these prophecies. He was rejected by his own people. He died. He rose from the dead, and 500 witnesses actually met him for 40 days in a resurrected body, and he told them, I want you to go into all the world and declare and proclaim that people's sins are forgiven, and now the barrier between God and man is down, and you can have a personal relationship with God. And so there's this little sect that early they were called the Way, before they were called Christians. In other words, the Way, the path, this is how you get to God. Now, it's AD 62 or 63. Jesus has only been resurrected like 30 plus years in this huge Roman Empire. And there's all these religions. So how in the world does God give his key spokesman a platform and he says, everyone, everywhere, and especially this Praetorian Guard, they know I'm here for the gospel. This is the platform of the known world. And after 30 years, God takes these difficult circumstances so that Paul is declaring the greatest truth that this planet has ever, ever heard. And all people know is they're spoken evil of because they're weird. I mean, the people are selling their homes and meeting the needs of the poor. They touch lepers. They meet secretly. They're absolutely committed to one another. They're radical in their faith. They keep talking about this dead man that came back to life. No matter what we do, we can't get rid of them. I mean, they were just a pain in the rear. I mean, we march them into the Colosseums and we let loose the lions. And that they sing praises to God, and they're asking God to forgive us as we do it. Nero actually took them and wrapped them. This is a bit graphic, but he would wrap these Christians who wouldn't recant in tar, and then he would put them on poles, and he would light them for his cocktail parties. And they would sing praises to God. And so Paul's saying, you know, this little 30-year movement, this sect, is getting global coverage because I'm here. It's turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. And by the way, you talk about a viral movement. Here's a viral movement. The Praetorian Guards, every 6 hours, one of these guards gets chained to me. And you don't know what a Praetorian Guard is. If you were an emperor at this time, the way that you normally lost your job is you were assassinated. And it might be a military coup, or it might be one of your sons, or it might be someone competing for power. And so what the emperors would do, they would develop what was called a Praetorian Guard. And basically, it was an army of somewhere between 10 to 20,000. And these were like the Green Beret, the Navy SEALs. I mean, the greatest warriors, the most gifted, the best trained. I mean, these were the, you know, absolute cream of the cream of the cream. And their job was to be loyal to the emperor. And I mean, they were esteemed. And so he, every 6 hours, he has a different one. So Claudius comes in and he's nailed, you know, he's chained to Paul. So what are you in for? Hey, I'm glad you asked. Have you ever heard of Jesus? Another 6 hours, you know. Augustus comes in, then Bob, then Fred, then Joe. I mean, can you imagine being chained to the Apostle Paul for 6 hours? He comes to Christ, 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 he comes to Christ. And what happens? What we find is that in the book of Acts, we'll learn that actually people in the household of Herod are coming to Christ. And all I want you to get is sometimes the zigzag line of difficult circumstances causes the gospel to go forward.
Chip will be back in just a minute with some additional thoughts about today's teaching. But if you're just joining us, you're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Chip's message today, Understanding the Power of Purpose, is from his series, I Choose Joy. Now, to help you take advantage of the resources for I Choose Joy, we've discounted the audio series, and the MP3s are absolutely free, but only for a limited time. Whether they're for you or a friend, ordering is easy when you go to livingontheedge.org. And remember, we're always happy to talk with you when you call 1-888-333-6003. Well, Chip, as we begin our mid-year match, there's a lot to share about what's happening with you and the ministry, but sometimes it's a personal experience that gets us more in tune with the impact of what's going on. Would you maybe share with us an event you thought was significant?
Oh, I'd love to, Dave. I have to tell you something that happened very recently.
Sure.
I was traveling by bullet train back to Shanghai. I had been doing some teaching in China and had an amazing time. It was about a two-hour train ride. I was sitting next to a young man, and I turned to him and said, "Hi, how are you doing, and do you speak English?"
And to my surprise, he looked over at me and said, well, I don't speak that good of English. And then we had a 25-minute conversation to start off and talking about the Warriors and the NBA. And he knew as much or more than I did. And we had a great conversation. He was a sophomore in high school. So I'm sitting next to him, and he begins to ask me a number of questions about my life and my faith. And we have a very, let me just call it, penetrating conversation that really surprised me. And he just had this real appetite to want to learn. And so I wanted to help him. So I opened my phone and I pointed to our app. And as I did, I mean, I looked over at his phone, and before I knew it, he was a lot faster than me. He already downloaded it.
Wow.
You know, we had all these series on it, and, you know, he understood English, and he could read English. And, you know, he turned to me as he got ready to get off, and he kind of smiled. He said, one day, I want to become a wise man like you and help younger people the way you help me by giving me wise counsel on this train. And he smiled and he got off, and then he looked at his phone and smiled as he had that app. And I thought to myself, wow, who would have ever dreamed? And I think about some of the, you know, mid-year or year-end matches we've done maybe 2 or 3 years ago. And yes, these matches are so important because, I mean, all of our general funding, and they take care of, you know, our everyday things that are so important and broadcast and all the rest. But they also allow us to do really special projects. And I remember the app was one of those special projects. And so those who gave in the past are a part of things happening in China with a young man today. And his nickname in English is Rookie, because he's new at school and he likes baseball and he likes basketball. It's an amazing world out there, and I want you to know that you're making a real difference in it. Thank you for those who gave to matches in the past, and I want to invite all of you to join me as we make a huge difference in the future. Pray, ask God what He might want you to do, and then just respond. And let's ask God to do great things here in America, China, and around the world. Thanks so much.
Well, thanks, Chip. Well, if you'd like to join the team, there's no better time than today. During this mid-year match, thanks to the generosity of a handful of friends of the ministry, a gift of any amount will be doubled dollar for dollar. Sending a gift to Living on the Edge is easy. Just go to livingontheedge.org and click on the donate button there on our homepage. Or if you prefer, you can always reach us by phone at 1-888-333-6003. That's 1-888-333-6003. Well, now here's Chip with a final thought.
As we close today's program, I want to remind you of the little formula that we're talking about. I'd encourage you to, you know, put this in the notes in your phone, maybe write it on a 3x5 card, put it on the mirror in the bathroom. C plus P equals E. C stands for circumstance plus perspective equals your experience. And we're going to learn four basic questions to ask that will give you God's perspective. The first question is, where's your focus? Remember, that was from the early part of chapter one. Is it inward or is it upward and outward? And now we're asking, what's your purpose? It's amazing how the lens of interpreting your circumstances alters radically when you think about God's purposes for your life. What is He doing? The Apostle Paul in this passage actually takes what is a horrendous situation in prison, and he looks at it through the lens of God's purpose and says, wow, this is pretty cool. I'm here in the center of the world. I'm chained to these guys that have all this impact, and the gospel is going to go forward. I mean, this is great. Instead of, I'm in chains, and God, where are you? And this isn't fair, and this doesn't work. I said at the beginning of the broadcast that sometimes the most difficult person or situation in your life is actually a tool that God is using to accomplish His best and biggest purposes through your life. I'd like you to ponder and kind of look backward in your own mind's eye and think some really hard things or difficult things that really, you wanted something to happen, but they didn't, and now you look back and go, oh, thank you, God. You know, like dating that person you thought you would marry, but you didn't, and you think of who you have now. Or in my case, I remember, oh, I so wanted to be the pastor of this one church, and I'd been at this tiny little church for like 7 or 8 years, and we went through the whole process, and we got to the end, and they said no. And I was devastated. Oh, God, I can't believe it. I think I'm perfect for that situation. A year later, I went to Santa Cruz Bible Church. And that was, I mean, a revolution in my life. In the last few years, I've had a back problem, and I had every treatment, and then finally surgery. And it's like, this is so hard. This is so difficult. Oh, God, I just want you to know, whatever you want to accomplish through this, will you do it? And I look back now, and it was my back that allowed me to see I was overextended, that allowed me to refocus my life, and God is doing things that I never dreamed. Here's my question for you. What's God's agenda or purpose in your life right now, and what good does he want to bring out of what you're currently experiencing? Ask him, and he'll tell you.
If Living on the Edge is making a difference in your walk with the Lord, we'd love to have you partner with us so others can receive that same blessing. Whether it's prayer or sending a gift, you can begin making a difference in the lives of other people today. And there really is a significance to today because it's the first day of our mid-year match. Beginning today, every gift we receive is matched dollar for dollar, thanks to the generosity of a small group of financial partners. Now, to give a gift, call us at 1-888-333-6003. That's 1-888-333-6003. Or if you prefer to give online, just go to livingontheedge.org and click the donate button there on our homepage. And let me thank you in advance for your generous support. Well, tomorrow on Living on the Edge, Chip continues his series, I Choose Joy, so be sure to join us then. For Chip and the entire team, this is Dave Drury, saying thanks for listening to this edition of Living on the Edge.